Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 14th on the West Coast, now January the 15th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Among those who are listening in on BBSRadio.com, we'd also like to welcome anyone listening on BlogTalkRadio.com, and around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. Well, a couple of nights ago, I and Drew Malone Raines III, my guest, were complaining about the fact that with this earthquake, that there were no announcements that we were going to be helping Haiti. Everybody was certainly pumping out the fear and the mayhem and the chaos. Of course, the massive loss of life that occurred in Haiti after what we feel is an orchestrated earthquake, a technological earthquake, and many psychics are coming forward saying that their intuition is telling them that, yes, this was done for a particular reason. We relate it to the massive scandal going on in the banking community still, and of course, mainstream media doesn't report it. But we got some good news that the long-legged Mac Daddy is going to be sending 5,000 U.S. troops into Haiti, hopefully to help. And so we're going to continue to keep all those folks in our thoughts and prayers. A massive loss of life. We probably will never find it out how many people have died senselessly, but these things happen. And I remember something that happened back in 2004. A tsunami that claimed the lives of at least 146,000 people in Indonesia. And these things don't happen without some deeper meaning behind them. So with that said, we're going to move right on now and bring tonight's guest on board. We have not decided what we're going to discuss. We hardly ever do. Maybe just a one-word topic, but in any case, he is a health, let's say, consultant of sorts. He is also an herbalist, a historian, and a former chemist, actually, with a technology company, one of the Fortune 500 companies. You could even say Fortune 100 companies, probably even 50. my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Great. Thank you.
Well, I know you've been keeping track of some things that are going on and trying to keep up with my research in case I ask you any unpredictable questions.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. What are you taking? What's your take on what's going on right now around the world? Give us a little synopsis, if you would.
Well, I'm pretty much on par with your conclusions and many of your guests. Of course, there's a major effort still forward for this globalism initiative, and any means will justify the ends of that initiative by these globalists. In particular, of course, the international bankster crime families. At the same time, we have natural events occurring where God himself will continue to bring about his will and his agenda. And so there will be a clash somewhere up the road from here, not too far down the road, I would say, either, between these two agendas. And that's basically, I just see all that progressing further to that final conclusion. And things seem to be accelerating, of course, a little more than in the recent past with events and magnitude and frequency of events. And so we can't drop our guard, that's for sure. We have to be ever vigilant to their activities, their modus operandi, and their intentions that they have for us, which is total enslavement and also very impoverished. They really prefer that no one has any form of wealth. And, of course, this population reduction that they're so hell-bent on as well through their UN initiatives. And so I just hope that as things continue to accelerate, great shows like yours, Don, will continue to reach more and more people so they are no longer sheeple but become sheepdogs as they realize the wolves are closing in. And God willing, we're going to turn things around before it's totally too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been engaged in some spiritual conversation, we'll say, with various individuals, and everybody seems to be remarking that there's an increase in consciousness, that people are in some fashion waking up. I heard a guy this evening on one show, I'm not laughing because of the topic, but just the fact that this guy came out of nowhere, and he's known for 32 years who shot JFK. He was sharing this information with the audience, talking about what's in the Zapruder film, the shot of William Greer, although he couldn't remember the name of the limo driver. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that somebody's awakened, but this is like a secret that this guy's been holding on to for 32 years, and he finally got the gumption to call into a talk show and tell everybody about it. Of course, we've seen the film. We know that he was one of the shooters, but he certainly didn't do all the shooting.
That's right.
Okay. But now the reason I use this example, not to make fun of the person, but to show that there are people who are waking up. There are people who are learning more about what's going on. They're starting to see the truth. They're seeing the lies in the mainstream media. They're seeing the lies that are coming directly from the government. All you need to do is turn on C-SPAN or NPR radio, listen to some of these interviews, and you get such a slanted, distorted, unrealistic view of what's going on. And people say, wait a minute, how can you say the economy is good? I don't have work. I can't even collect unemployment. I'm about to lose my house, or my house has been foreclosed, and I'm staying with a relative for a short period of time, and pretty soon I'm going to have to go out and find my own place. I can't cope. I can't feed my family. We're uprooted. And these guys are telling us how wonderful life is in America. You hear the distrust and the mistrust that someone who makes that kind of statement has, and yet these guys don't care. You know,
well, that's how bad it is. We're at the stage now where those people in our government are blatantly arrogant in our face when we tell them, look, we don't want you to vote yes on that, or we don't want such an action conducted by you on supposedly on our behalf. But they don't care. They just, they're wolves, and so they show their fangs with their little smile, and they go on their merry way serving their real masters, which are the international cabal, most notably the Rockefeller family here in the U.S., the Rothschilds in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Don, you alluded to God's activity, his agenda, beginning to more and more unfold here simultaneously, and that is the awakening, the awareness of more and more people beginning to come about is evidence of that. And what we need to see happen is that enough people wake up properly with the proper awareness so that we become one in God's way on this planet. We all become one in the sense that we all have the same understanding and awareness about our responsibilities as individuals and as countries, and understanding that our government is only as good as the people we put in those positions. And at the same time, we'll see the devils and his minions with their agenda of trying to make the world all quote-unquote one through their approach, which will be a gun to your head. We'll be all one because we'll all be dirt poor, starving, looking for some kind of work, willing to do anything for it, and that'll be their version of everybody being one in the world. And so it's coming to a head. It's clearly coming to a head. It's not going to be all much more time, I don't think. Just a matter of years. Mm-hmm. It's going to come to a head for sure now.
Yeah. You know, what comes to mind, you know, there's a diversity in nature. There's a limitless diversity in nature, really. And if nature was left alone to fend for itself and man stayed out of the picture, at least, you know, from the perspective of interfering with nature, modifying the weather, exploding nuclear weapons underground, building underground bases.
Using genetics to manipulate nature.
Yeah.
Instead of working with nature to help perfect her.
Yeah.
They're using genetics to manipulate her to really undo her.
Yeah.
To undo her natural order that God has designed intrinsically into nature.
Yes. Well, I'm... What I'm... I guess I'm leading to is that we have the opportunity to save ourselves and to save the world if we only wake up and realize what is going on. These guys don't care. That's obvious. I'm hearing stories. I heard something last night about a tunnel, or maybe it was this evening, a tunnel or a piece of, let's say, pipe that would be used for tunnels being dropped into the ocean. And there's evidently some type of technology or something being used to get rid of fish, to kill off the fish in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what kind of sick, these are some sick aliens, let me tell you.
You know, Don, I mean, just when you watch their technique for commercial fishing today, right, on the big ocean seas,
mm-hmm.
and you have these gigantic factories on as a vessel on water, because that's what they are. They're a factory. They net them, they gut them, process them, and can them all on that ship. And they're out there for, I think, a few months at a clip. And you see they're using nets miles long. And they drag them, just grabbing everything in its path. And just from that approach of, you know, supposedly fishing, they were cleaning out the ocean, clearly cleaning it out. And yes, it's ungodly. It's really disgusting. And again, you know, this is big corporation activity. These are the toys of the globalist international bankster scum. They're corporations. Through the corporations, they create hell on this earth. They send all their jobs to slave labor countries where they don't have to pay them a decent wage. There won't be any environmental controls or anything else that restricts their activity. And at the same time, they're destroying the earth with their genetics like Monsanto, just transforming vegetables that are healthy into undigestible material that looks good. And maybe easier, a little easier to grow without so much spraying, but it's indigestible. And on, with the animals, crossing genes so that there's more of a web in milk so they can create a new substance. It's just all horrendous. And like the Lord said, it would be like unto the days of Noah when the Son of Man returns. And this is what we're witnessing, because this is what was going on in Noah's time. And it's really outrageous, and it's all from corporations, big corporations. They're the enemy. If people would realize try to stop buying things in big corporations, and it's no easy feat because they've monopolized everything, and it's there's not many other places to shop. However, we have to be resourceful and resilient and also determined to only buy what we need and try to buy it through a source that is not really a big corporation, a global corporation owned by these bankster families, and over time we have to knock them down so there's no more big corporations. Of course, it'd be great if we can just arrest all these international banksters with their major racket of printing phony money, calling it real money, forcing the government to accept it as real money, and then also having to pay huge daily compounded interest for borrowing that phony money. And if we can just get rid of them quick, then the big corporations will easily fall. But this is what has to be done in order to save our country and all the other countries on the planet so they all remain autonomous, and at the same time enable creativity and productivity to come back at the local levels.
Yeah, you mentioned slave states or slave countries. Is there one that isn't one right now?
Well, unfortunately not. It's just a matter of pay scale.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they're reducing us into, obviously, one of the slave countries. And this is all recent for us. I mean, even with how bad it is here right now, just imagine that still many other people in other countries would rather come here because it's still better than where they are.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is where they are, because we're all disgusted with how bad it is here because we already know how much nicer it used to be here.
Yeah.
And so that's how bad it is everywhere else. We are still the only beacon, the only bastion of light and freedom lingering on this planet's surface. And it's up to us as Americans. It's our responsibility to make sure that light is not extinguished.
Well, that God had to bring a flood upon the earth in the days of Noah and basically just destroy all life other than what was on the ark, it must have really needed a flushing. And certainly,
right.
I can't imagine it being anything like it is today. So if there's a flushing about to occur, I don't know what it is, Tidy Bowl or Clorox or Lysol.
No, Don. Well, Don, you're right on the money, but where after the flood, when the Lord, the Almighty, grieved because of what happened to his creation, but he had no choice because it was that bad, like you said, and it was time to flush, but he grieved, so he cast a rainbow and promised never again to do that. The next time, it'll be through fire, and that's what we're going to be facing. And I see two manifestations of the fire. One, of course, from God and his agenda, his approach. The second will be from these devils and their approach. And their fire, unfortunately, may be nuclear, where God's fire will be through the sun. And I'll just quote from the prophet Malachi, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the wicked, ye all the wicked and all that are evil shall be stubble on the day that I do this, saith the Lord, leaving them neither root nor branch, but unto ye who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its beams, and ye shall go forth and grow strong like calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of thy feet on the day that I do this, saith the Lord." So the Lord will use the sun, and it's going to cook really hot, but it's only going to burn off the planet everything that offends God, evil and wicked.
Yeah.
And that can only be people. There's no animals that are evil or wicked.
So. Now, I didn't prepare you for that question. Did you pull that scripture off the web, or I didn't hear any pages going? Or did
no,
you
Don.
Memorized?
No. Yeah. I know that one.
Okay.
And, but
Well, it was right on.
And that's coming.
Yeah, you answered the question. You answered the question. And, of course, they don't want to hear that.
That's right.
They do.
And, Don, you know, I'm glad you brought this up and steered me to this, because I've been wanting to cover this with you for quite a while. It ties in with what I just said with that ancient biblical prophecy. Because in the early 1900s, excuse me, when Mary appeared in Fatima, Portugal, 1913, to three little kids, two boys and a girl. They were all related, brother, sister, and a cousin. Now, they were dirt poor little shepherds, and they had their sheep with them in some kind of field, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a storm's rapidly approaching, and they're panicking. And all of a sudden, it's right above them, and out of the storm, when they're panicking, a ball of light appears, and all of a sudden, it becomes Michael the Archangel. He's hovering over the ground above the kids. He tells them not to be frightened. He teaches them how to pray. And he says if they properly pray every day on this spot, he's going to come back, and then there's going to be a special surprise. So the kids were faithful to that. And then, lo and behold, the special surprise is the appearance of Mary. So then the kids are communing with Mary, all three in their own particular way. One could see, well, they all could see, but only one could hear, and only one was able to really under, and I got to remember that, only one was able to hear, one was able to really understand what she was saying, but they all had a rapport with her, and she was resting on an oak tree, or just hovering above a limb on an oak tree every time. Now, she tells the kids that if they're faithful to her and keep coming to the spot on that given day, each month I believe it was, for so many months, then there's going to be another big surprise. So the kids are faithful. And now the word is spreading more and more at each upcoming event, what's going on with these three kids and this apparition. So more and more people are coming. They want to be. They want to experience it. They want to see what's going on. So after so many months, and I think it was six, the big event was to come. And many people just before the big event were telling the kids, tell Mary we want to see her too, because nobody could see her but the kids. And so Mary tells the kids to tell the people that on this special day, this big event, then everybody's going to see. So that day comes. Now, as that day approaches, it's pouring rain, Don, pouring rain, hard as all could be, everything's muddy, and about 70,000 people arrive for the big event. That's a lot of people. They're soaking wet. The fascist Portugal government has kidnapped the three kids. They're trying to force a confession that they're making all this up.
Mm-hmm. I recall that, yeah.
And the kids refused, and they tried to bribe them with gold. Now, the kids were dirt poor. And so they tempted them with the gold, but the kids refused. They said, we're not lying, we're not making this up, and we don't want any gold. The fascist authorities reluctantly had to let the kids go because they were afraid, because of all the people turning out, that they would come and just take the kids and destroy the place. And so they had to reluctantly let them go. The kids arrived late. So Mary, because of what happened to the kids, says, the big event's off. But now something else will happen. And now, all of a sudden, the sun dislocates from its natural position in the sky, and it's dancing around through the sky. And apparently there was a kaleidoscope of colors also being seen by everyone. Very supernatural event. Then the sun begins to hurtle towards the earth. All the people believe it's the end of the world. They're on their knees crying and praying, believing it's the end of the world. And then suddenly, just when it looked like it was going to crash in, that was going to be it, everything was going to burn up, the sun is immediately back in its natural position, everything's fine. The authorities to this day, the quote-unquote authorities of this day, to this day, explain that event as a mass hallucination by 70,000 people all seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
But what they failed to mention is that after the sun returned to its natural position, everything was bone dry. The ground, which was totally mud, was bone dry. All the people soaking wet, their clothes, everything was totally dry, proving it was a physical event. Okay, now, she brought this event with the sun. because it's going to be through the sun that God's agenda prevails. And that supports Malachi, his prophecy, because it's all about the sun with the Lord's plans for restoring his creation down here in this fallen sector where matter is imperfect.
Yeah. Now the sun, the celestial body, is representative of the Son of God.
Yes, and you know, in Malachi's prophecy, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven all the wicked, ye all that are evil shall be stubble. But unto ye who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its beams. So the sun simultaneously is going to burn off everything that offends God, yet simultaneously it will nurture and rejuvenate and make stronger and healthy everything that pleases God.
Yeah.
And so, yep, the Son is going to deliver that. And Jesus himself is also known as the Son of Righteousness.
Yes. Now, I hear a lot of preachers, not that I've listened to that many, but over the years I've heard a lot of preachers preach a condemnational message that the fear of God is something that God is to be feared. God is to be, you are to be afraid of God, is what they're saying. And fear in this sense means respect or awe for,
yes,
for God's greatness.
Absolutely, Don. I'm glad you brought that up because it needs to be clarified. And also let's remember or realize that in that approach of translation, those that fear me, how about those that fear if they ever offend me, that they will be cut off from me and they will never be happy. And just that thought alone would terrify me. As far as Mike, if you ever do anything stupid enough to get the good Lord mad enough at you where he cuts himself off from you, I would rather be dead, because my life is so blessed knowing him that without him in my life, I don't even want to ever contemplate it. And that, the fear of me doing something stupid to offend him, is the only other way to view fearing God. So I would say in that translation, but unto ye who love me, the Son of Righteousness shall rise in its and healing in its beams. Because obviously, of course, those that love God will always, always be close to him.
Yeah. Now that gives us the opportunity
to have love.
Yeah, we basically come full circle now in through your explanation here and quoting Malachi, especially the thing that we're doing to the earth is disrespecting God's creation.
And
we're all doing it to some extent, those of us that use the technology or the machines or the oil products and the drugs, or consume the things that are put out there for us without considering what the impact is going to be, not just to ourselves but to the earth. We seem to bear the brunt of the blame for a lot of things. I don't own a jet. I'm not burning up thousands of gallons of fuel. I fly very infrequently. And yet, the people that fly in the planes are being blamed. We didn't invent the planes.
That's right.
You see, we're penalized for this. Wow, somebody's getting awful filthy rich in the process of lying to us about the nature of these products, who has created them, who is profiting from them, and then to find fault with us that, well, you have to curb your driving. But
that's right.
While
shame on you.
While you tell us that we can't have electric cars or that we can't have advanced technology, that you could probably run a car on a crystal. Okay.
Very good, Don. That's right.
One crystal.
That's
so
right.
So the
even water.
And the hypocrisy of those that create the laws that violate God's laws and violate the creation are self-evident.
Yes. And these same dirtbag SOBs who claim that mankind's destroying the earth and climate, and we have to tax them for breathing. Shame on you, especially you Americans. Bad, bad. So productive. You drive too much. And then I always would tell people also, Don, like with the cars, you know, you got a polluter there. Well, it's going to cost more to pass your inspection because it's a real polluter there. Well, it's like, hey, don't take it out on me. I didn't make this stupid thing. This is all I got to. I don't have any other options of what to drive. They're all polluters. Give me some options here. And so educating everybody, Don, and being aware of this perspective is really important to knocking them down and getting real competition going again by demanding that we have options. Just, why aren't there any options? Why is there never any options? The government's the only option all the time. Well, it's the government. They got to fix it. There's never any options of any in any other way. It's all BS.
Yeah, well, they don't want us to have the options because that takes away the control, you see.
They're no longer monopolizing.
Yes.
And that's where their control comes from. Absolutely right.
Now, when I consider this awakening that's occurring, people are awakening to what's going on, but they have a lot of catching up to do, don't they, in terms of considering what the mass of humanity, all of humanity, and all of what is not humanity, how it's impacting the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The earth can deal with herself without our interference. And the earth will be empowered to correct all of these deficiencies in the character and the methodology of how the resources are used or abused, how the planet itself and the life forms, again, we go back to the creation. This is all, it's like a tape loop that's just, and let's say an endless tape loop. These days with digital technology, we can just say a loop. It's a loop that just repeats itself over and over, and they try to present it to us in a different color, a different flavor, a different aroma. It's the same crap all the time, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The story changes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and the agenda is always the same, and that's to make everything synthetic and to remove everything that's natural and wholesome and then substitute it with synthetic and say synthetic is natural. Synthetic is good. That's what they're all about.
Yeah.
They're the devils that will give their kids, when they're hungry, a stone instead of bread.
Yeah. And look at what we're doing now. I know a lot of people who are, on the other hand, doing things to correct the imbalance on the planet. I saw a video a couple of days ago. Actually, it's quite a good presentation. Was produced by Sharon Rose. And it's called Time Wave 2013. And she went around the world seeking answers as to, you know, this question of 2012, what's going to happen. Of course, 2012 is going to be a year like any other year. We could have drastic change within the next week that could surpass anything that's going to happen on 2012. But they, much like 2000, you know, Y2K, the world is going to fall apart because the Windows operating system in PCs isn't going to function. Somebody messed up and forgot to carry the date beyond the year 2000 or 1999.
Yeah, nobody thought about that prior to the invention.
Yeah, just so you know, back then when that happened, Macintosh computers were set up to run until the year 3700. So, not that they'll last that long, but at least they have the clocks, right?
The clocks can make it.
There's built-in obsolescence and everything. But that's something to consider. What would compel somebody to go that far into the future? Well, they made a really good computer, okay? And they made it so that those types of things wouldn't become issues. But why is it that everyone panicked? You notice all the fear that was there. And it was fear over what? People losing money, fiat money on top of it, right?
Yep, and also potential accidental missile exchanges because the computers went haywire.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was also that fear. And the banks collapsing, that fear.
Oh, God forbid that we would have an unintentional war.
All of those things hyped at Y2K that didn't come to pass we are dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Y2K is now happening. So I see Y2K as their attempts to try to get events that they want to happen occurring way back then, because they are behind on their time schedule for the one world government, the one world currency, and the one world religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see Y2K as their first attempt to try to get that really moving, to get events to come about to consolidate, but it didn't work. But sure enough, all of those Y2K scenarios of what everyone's afraid of, we're dealing with right now, you see? So it's all part of their agenda, and now they're trying to consolidate it finally at this point in time.
Yeah, and I think they're still deficient that through all the money that they blew and stole from each other, from us, and everybody on the planet, it's caught up with them. All of the corruption has caught up with them, and they've got not just our ire to deal with, they've got to deal with getting caught and the potential consequences of being removed.
Well, there it is. Now, I would say in the potential consequences of being held accountable and at the worst case scenario for us, having them just removed. But the ideal scenario for us is to have them all held accountable. Because if we can do that, Don, we finally got our act together as a people, as a country here. To take these dirtbags by the neck, drag them into court, prove that they're not only traitors but racketeers, criminals, through and through, and hang them. Dispose of them properly and hang them. And again, if I had my preference, I would have them hanging to the Star Spangled Banner, blasting right behind them so they hear it blasting in their ears when they do that last deer dance. And then we got them, because without accountability, I'm afraid we're not going to kill the dragon. We're not going to drive the stake in the vampire's heart.
I think the Star Spangled Banner is too good for them. I think they need to listen to a loud version of YMCA.
I'll go with that.
They probably Slim Whitman's version of Indian Love Call. Okay. That would be sufficient.
Well, let's use them as the warm-up tunes for the final act. It's got to be the Star Spangled Banner. So they know the red, white, and blue is triumphing while they're on their way to the hell that they crawled out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just my wish for the near future.
Maybe we should ask listeners to phone in what the best music would be. I mean, this... and have a contest or something.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
What could we give away as a prize? We could give away a copy of Al Gore's book on global warming and the DVD.
Great.
You think?
And also, how about copies of the Nobel Peace Prize Obama got? We'll give give copies away of that.
And put a CD of YMCA in the back cover.
Yeah, I think some Barry White should be on that for Obama. For some reason, I just hear Barry White in the background when I think of Obama.
Oh, man. I forget. Chris Rock had something to say about a group. He said, when I see Obama, I think of this group. I forget who the group is. And he said something like, when are you going back with them? When are you guys coming out with a new song? That was during the campaign. It was a funny joke, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's funny. He's good.
Oh, man. Well,
but accountability, pal, that's what it's all about. We have to be all held accountable.
Yeah, now, accountability starts with each person, and certainly the government is no different. I mean, they view themselves as this collective body that has a military that protects them so that anyone that should speak out or stand up to their corruption gets the wrath. They experience the wrath of that military. Although, again, it's a misuse of what the military stands for and what the military is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly know that. People in the military know that.
Yeah, look at all the suicides being reported by our military personnel.
Look at all the ones that aren't being reported.
Excuse me?
Look at the ones that aren't being reported.
And that's right, Don, and that's what you have to consider based on what they are reporting. And, you know, I mean, that hurts. It really hurts to know these kids are being forced to commit acts that they know are wrong, and it's killing their conscience, and they eventually kill themselves. But these dirtbags running our government, forcing this upon them. But the military has to stand up. They have to realize they're not serving us, the American people, or the Constitutional Republic, and do the right thing. And rebel against them bastards. And join us. And let's clean house once and for all and hold these evil, good-for-nothings, devils accountable.
Well, again, it's another example of dishonoring the creation and destroying life, or playing God, really. That's what they're doing. They're playing God.
Truly.
They're doing an awful, poor job of it.
Well, only if they're really trying to be as good as God, but if they're really doing a devil's deed and undermining God's work, his creation, they're doing quite a bad time.
Well, again, if I look at what they do in nature, if I look what they do to young people they send to school, and the mind control and the brainwashing and the lies that we're taught, we're told this is history, this is what happened, and this is why it happened this way, and you should be thankful, and you should be proud of your country and proud of your leaders, and it's all a big shell game, isn't it? It's all
a facade.
Really, a poor excuse for mass murder and corruption.
Mm-hmm. All a facade, a thin veneer of legitimacy and lawful activity. However, right, it's just a facade. Behind it, behind that little curtain, you have a hellish activity brewing daily. And it's up to us to extinguish that before it extinguishes life itself.
Yeah.
You know, and Don, you know, when I mentioned the Fatim incident, let me just tie in that she explained to the kids that out of many messages that were to be revealed to the world, that at the end of the century, which would be the 21st, the end of the 20th century, the beginning of the 21st century, there's going to be a transition, because God's will intends for the planet to be restored. So everything is the way it's supposed to be, the way it was in the beginning. Now, through this transition that brings the earth to a golden period, it's up to mankind how this transition goes. She said if the people on the planet live the way her son expects us to live and behave, the transition is going to be smooth and easy as the golden age starts. However, if people continue to live the way they are, the transition will be very difficult, very rough, and so bad that even nations could get annihilated. So here we can see where we are right now. We're not obviously going in a smooth transition. It looks like it's going to be a hard transition. But she, the message was, a golden age is right there. It's coming. And so these devils are trying to stop that. That's what these Rockefeller dirtbags with the Rothschilds and their minions like Obama boy and Clinton boy and Bush boy, they're all boys for the Rockefellers carrying their water. And they are slaves to them. That's their master that they serve. And they're trying to stop this golden age. Because we've covered in the past, at the same time with that apparition of Fatima, early 1900s, you had Tesla cooking up all kinds of phenomenal technologies that was starting the golden age. The golden age would have really been already starting then, but all of that was suppressed. The alternative energy sources, so we didn't need the Rockefeller oil for heat, for energy, or any kind of production source. And technology for communications and transportation. Tesla alone had so much to offer, along with other great minds. And so the golden age was clearly coming. It was definitely incubating, but they were snuffed out. Tesla was stopped, but all of his brilliant ideas, of course, were hijacked by these dirtbags so they can use it all for themselves secretly. And so that was the big thing with Fatima, with the message. The golden age is coming. And for this isn't a Catholic thing. I'm not a practicing Catholic, although born Roman Catholic as an Italian, a second generation American. But I'm not a practicing Catholic, and this is not a Catholic thing. Now, in 6970, Mary, she kept appearing after Fatima continuously in many places, all well documented, photographs and everything. So I would refer everyone listening to check out, just do a search on Google for Zeitun. Mary appears at Zeitun, Zeitoun, Egypt. And you'll see photographs where she appeared for 2 weeks straight every night over a church there, which is the same location where a couple thousand years prior, her, Joseph, and baby Jesus fled to when Herod was killing all the male 2 years and under.
Mm-hmm.
And she appeared for 2 weeks straight every night, photographs being taken, 5,000 Muslims converted to Christianity on the spot. You never hear about that one. And so she's been very active all the way up to now, trying to get the message out. Now, I've heard people in the Patriot community poo-pooing all that, is that's more devil activity. You know, that's not really Mary, and that's not really anything related to God or Jesus. And they're all wrong. And everything that she said has happened already or is coming about to happen. And all her appearances were very supernatural. All kinds of things going on. Right down here in Conyers, Georgia, was well documented. And thousands of people coming in from all around the world just to witness it. Gold dust raining out of the air. And she was warning us about being invaded by communist China in the late 90s at the Conyers incidents. Now, at Zeitun, with that event, I mentioned that to a friend out in L.A. about a couple years ago. And so many months later when I was talking with her again, she said she was in L.A. in a taxi, and she could see the driver was Middle Eastern. But she knows he had a picture of the on his dashboard. So she was curious about that. She asked him, you know, you're from Middle East. I figured you're Muslim, but I see you have a photograph of Mary. And he goes, oh, yes, yes, I was Muslim. But I see Mary at Zeitun for 2 weeks every night above a church, and now I'm a Christian.
Huh.
Yes. And so she's legitimate, and these events are legitimate. And God's will is going to prevail. And that's the good news. We just have to adhere to what he expects of us by living virtuously as best as we can and always doing the right thing, saying the right thing, behaving the correct way as we deal with every situation in our activities through the day. And that's what pleases God. And just being proper in all the things we do and say and think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... That will enable everyone to get that security that we all will need as we get closer and closer to this, what I was referring to as a clash between God's will and his agenda and the devil's will and his agenda here on our planet.
Now, you mentioned Tesla, and of course, we've talked about him quite a bit. I've even written about him in one of my pieces that came out in the Observer in April of 2007, in the Idaho Observer, I should say. There were other scientists. Jim Murray and I have gone down the rabbit hole with people like Victor Schauberger, who was a naturalist. He studied, his expertise was actually forestry, but he came up with a lot of really advanced types of technology, and he was one of the first to study vortices.
That's right.
And their relationships to fluids. And much of that technology was pumped out of him under the guise of helping science here in the United States. They had him and his son here for some time. Mm-hmm. And he went back to Europe a broken man.
Yeah.
All of what he discovered is being brought up as a possibility today. But he was just a little bit younger than Tesla. I think he lived 15 years past Tesla. And Tesla was already doing his work here in the States when Schauberger was born. So, you know, you could see there was a difference. But their demise was short. Both men lived much shorter lives than they could have, especially with the connection they had with the center of the cosmos.
Yes.
They understood, and there are others. Wilhelm Reich is another one that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Royal Reif.
Sure.
The people that were looking at technologies that would abide by natural law.
Exactly, Don.
And honor the creation, you see.
That's right, Don.
And all of that technology has been perverted and turned against mankind.
Yes, absolutely. You can analyze it with this perspective that these technologies from Tesla and Schauberger were using natural phenomenon to create energy. So with the energy creation was never destructive and therefore in harmony with nature all the time. Where look at the technology that they give us. Everything is force. Has to require explosions. Combustion engine requires explosion. They drop bombs on everything. That's explosions. They send their missiles hurtling through the air. That's a force that has to eject it and fire it. And so everything with them is always negative technology, anti-nature. Mm. Exactly. But everything from God will always be in harmony with nature. No force, no destructive force, a force that requires some kind of disruption with the natural state is not God's way. But everything that we have today with real technology requires that. And so that's the difference, absolutely. And we need that new technology so desperately so we can continue to prosper, be productive, and expand without impinging on nature.
Or even that which violates universal law. Again,
of course.
You know, it violates the creation.
Absolutely, which is nature.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're about out of time, but this has been interesting. Here we are, started talking about a catastrophe in Haiti, and certainly we can see the whole planet is suffering from the same kind of abuse. Everyone may not be experiencing earthquakes and total destruction of their habitat, but...
Have you heard much about the earthquake in Northern California?
I did yesterday.
Right. No, nobody's really covering that. That's a big one.
Well, yeah, you know, they want to downplay things. It's about keeping your attention focused. It's like watching a bad magic trick.
Yes, exactly right, Don. So, you know, that I just wanted to mention that, just to bring that out. You see, they're not, for some reason, they don't want us to be thinking about our own problems here.
yeah, exactly. You know, we have to think about others. And I was repulsed to no end yesterday evening, just before showtime, and I heard Bill Clinton to tell people to send in cash, even if it's a dollar, he said.
Did it? Was he with his stepdad, old man Bush?
No,
he
was alone. But I mean, you could see through the lies that he was telling away. You know, they give him this position of responsibility. They make him a spokesman for the UN, and
he's a leader of the world now, isn't he, Don?
Oh, it's disgusting. Anyway,
he cares, though, Don. He cares, Don. It's kind of move you to see how much he cares.
Well, he ought to talk to his buddy Al and figure out this thing about global warming. They need to rehash that a little bit. Maybe give back that money or give it to the Haitians.
Well, I was just going to say, that's my point. These guys care so much, but I don't see any of them with all their millions that they ransacked and stole from people and governments and banking institutions. And I don't see them giving a penny of any of that to people in need, whether it's in Haiti or anywhere else. I never see that from these clowns.
We
have to keep giving now.
Give away as a donation to, you know, to support medical supplies or whatever, housing or whatever, the Nobel Pepper Pizza Prize that the long-legged Mac Daddy got.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, Michael. I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints tonight.
And always a pleasure, Don. Thanks for inviting me. Great to be back.
And hopefully next show, what do you say we talk about some health issues and how they relate to our true selves, our spiritual selves?
Absolutely, Don. Let's get into it. Let's discuss more about the body as a temple and how powerful we are when we maintain it as a temple.
Okay, very good. Now, you're going to be on Evident Footprints as early as next Tuesday, the 19th of January. So I look forward to that.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
All right. You have a great evening.
God bless.
You too. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's special guest, Michael Anthony. And Michael will be back with us next Tuesday. In the meantime, I would like to thank bbsradio.com for making Evident Footprinds possible, Wind Talkers Radio Network, and blogtalkradio.com for carrying the show. And in the studio, Don and Doug Newsom, again, for making Evident Footprinds possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, lecturer, author, and teacher, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.